Welcome to the Habitast, Habitat Pinellas and West Pasco's show and podcast highlighting our mission, our homeowners, and the partners that help make it happen. I'm your co-host, Morgan, and I'm here with my co-host, Mike. How are you, Mike?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm excited to talk to Jason this morning.
Yeah. Jason Clement, former board chair. Great guy.
Yeah, he's awesome.
He was on the search committee that hired me, so we'll be nice to him. But he's a great dude. Has been involved with us for about 8 years, and he rolled off our board last year. Mm-hmm. We missed him.
Yeah.
You and I were talking that we couldn't remember the last time we saw him in person.
No.
Because of the pandemic and mm-hmm. all. But it'll be fun to talk. He's got a cool story, you know, from Iowa, and just very his family values and faith and. Is really kind of what drives him as a person, and he's just got an amazing family.
So. Yeah, I'm excited to chat with him, and he was involved for so long, even before I started here at Habitat, so it's cool to be able to bring him on and kind of hear about his impact when he was on the board, and then in our next episode, we'll talk with Brandon Brayboy, who's our incoming chairman, which will be cool.
Yeah.
Good perspective.
For sure. Well, let's talk, let's kind of make an announcement here today,
let's
right?
Do it.
So. We've been talking over the last couple weeks about our new restore. Mm-hmm. And so we have a restore in Clearwater. We have one in Palm Harbor. Mm-hmm. And we had one in Newport Richey.
Yeah.
We sold the facility. The facility was a great facility. It served us very well. But it was kind of off the beaten path. So
right.
The traffic count wasn't high. You had to almost be going there,
yeah.
Right? And so we decided to sell the location, and we have entered into a lease with a new facility.
Yeah.
And so we thought we'd let everybody know where that is today.
Yeah. Right on 19 in Newport Richey, which is pretty amazing. It's right next to Harbor Freight. It's a great spot. You can't miss it.
Yeah. Right at the corner of Main and 19, mm-hmm. So right at the gateway to downtown Newport Richey.
Yep.
It's going to be a great facility. I think we're shooting for probably about a November opening. We have a lot of build out to do and a lot of work to do on it, but I think it'll serve us well. So there's Harbor Freight's right there.
Mm-hmm.
There's a wing house and a Burger King right across the street from the new Kaiser building that they're building in Newport Richey.
Yeah.
So pretty exciting.
Yeah, can't miss it.
Third store.
I know, third store is going to be amazing, and I think our Newport Richey folks miss that restore.
Yeah.
So I can't wait to have that come back online and bring volunteers in to kind of help staff that new store and then have some really great product.
You ever bought anything at the restore?
I have, quite a bit. Yeah.
Quite a bit?
Mm-hmm.
Did I ever tell you about my couch? So it's not my current couch, but I had a couch that I bought at the restore. And I use this as an example when I talk about the restore a lot. So it was a donated item from American Signature Furniture. So they used to donate some scratch and dent stuff to us.
Right.
And so we got this couch in, and I was like, oh, that's an awesome couch. It would look great in my living room. And I kept walking around it. I was looking everywhere. I couldn't find where, you know, there was no rip. There was no stains.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, Where's this scratch or dent? And I ended up looking back at the paperwork, and I found at the base, there was a little wood base
mm-hmm.
that had a scratch on it. So I turned the base about 45 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
Scratch is gone. Brand new couch. And I bought it for probably 50% less than the store. And I supported Habitat.
It's pretty awesome. I think that there's that misconception about the restore that I've heard a couple things. One, it's not open to the public.
Yeah, that's false.
And then two, it's only for homeowners to shop in.
False as well.
Also, homeowners are welcome to shop in the store.
Yeah.
We encourage it, of course, and they also volunteer in the store to get the sweat equity hours. But shopping the restore can help you save a little bit of money, but also help build homes in the community. So it's pretty awesome.
We should do a true-false segment.
Okay.
There's a lot of misconceptions.
I know, there are a lot of misconceptions.
We should do that.
Okay.
Before we do that, let's get Jason and let's talk a little bit to him and introduce him to our worldwide audience.
Let's do it.
Awesome. Well, it's great to catch up.
Mm-hmm.
You've been involved with Habitat for so long and have been instrumental in our growth and our ability to serve more families in our community. So thank you for everything and thank you for being with us.
My pleasure and miss you guys.
Yeah.
And we're joking around. It's been a year and it feels like five just because of how much time we spent together the previous seven.
Yeah.
So it's a thrill to see the impact Habitat's making right now.
That's awesome.
So congratulations to you guys.
Oh, well, it's fun. And as long as it's fun, it's, you know, it doesn't feel like work, right?
Nothing better than serving people, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So tell us a little bit about Jason Clement, you know, like your background, where you're from, and all that good stuff.
Yeah. So I'm from Iowa originally. As you know, we were just joking around about cornfields, but it's literally where I'm from. Didn't grow up on a farm, but did a lot of work in the cornfields as well, the tasseling and roguing. My business partner today, so I'm the CEO of Sports Facilities Companies, and we've got about 1,000 employees. Mm-hmm. We're working on some deals right now to double that, actually.
Awesome.
And it's been just a great ride. And what we do is we build sports complexes to improve the health and economic vitality of the communities in which they're in. So we have about 25 million guests in our facilities around the country. And it's just been an awesome ride. We're about 18 years old now, and my business partner jokes around that I got my work ethic from the gritty cornfields of Iowa. Right? And so, but there's some truth to that. So grew up in a baseball family, a sport-loving family, and a lot of the character development, work ethic, all of those things came from playing sports and being around family. And so the values of faith and family, sports, all were bred, you know, from that time. Mike and I joke around because he spent a little time in Iowa, right, at Iowa State University, which is where I went to school. I call it the Harvard of the Skunk River Valley, actually. Not just the Midwest, the Skunk River Valley. But graduated with an architecture degree and ended up getting into sports facility development. And, you know, that's kind of how where we've landed today. And it's just been, you know, an awesome ride from that perspective. And about 8 years ago, I was introduced to Habitat and the mission, and, you know, just really fell in love with it. And I'm sure we'll talk a little bit about the history there. But it's been really a great blessing. And the benefit of serving in Habitat, I've gotten more out of it. And we've gotten employees as a result of it, team members. And it's just one of those things when you press into service, you know, good things happen. It's not the reason you do it, but good things happen as a result.
Yeah, of course.
So before we talk about Habitat, so Iowa.
Yeah.
So I've always wondered, so you went to Iowa State, but you're a University of Iowa fan.
I am. Well, I'm both.
Oh, okay. Both.
Right, which no one understands.
Yeah. That makes some sense. Well, in Florida, it's like, you know, you're either a Gator fan or a Noles fan, right?
Well, what about USF here?
Or USF or that
you're
school.
You're one or the other.
What's the school? Where'd you go? University of...
Where the national champs come from.
Yeah. Orlando. University of Orlando.
But there's no... You don't split it. There's no, like, half and half. No.
And there really aren't. There really aren't in Iowa.
Yeah.
So I grew up with season tickets to Iowa football.
Okay.
Went to a lot of basketball games. And a lot of memories growing up with my dad. You know, the formidable memories and the time spent together. And my brothers and sister. And long story short, they didn't have architecture at the University of Iowa. So I went to Iowa State. It was either that or the University of Minnesota, and out of state tuition that got mixed pretty quickly. So I was an Iowa fan going to Iowa State. So fast forward to today, I root for Iowa State every game except one, and that's when they play the Hawks. And I root for the Hawks all the time.
All the time.
Yeah, all the time. So try to get to a game a year, depending on where they're at and what bowl game they're in. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, they're in every year. So, you know, house divided, if you will. My wife is also an Iowa State grad.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And you guys met there?
We actually, same hometown in Iowa.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And if she were here, she would say I was too immature to date. And so it took us until age 29 to get married. I had to court her that long.
Yeah.
So from middle school to age 29, she finally relented and ended up marrying me.
That's funny.
Yeah.
And you guys all obviously have three kids now.
Three kids, yep, 9, 8, and 6 as we're recording this. Our oldest is adopted from Ethiopia, and then two biological, a daughter and a son. So Will's adopted from Ethiopia, just a great kid, super fun. Kylie's 8, they're only 9 months apart. So the fun story is that we started the adoption process, Jana gets pregnant, which happens a lot, and long story short, Jana delivered Kylie, and 2 days later, I was on a plane to Ethiopia. To get Will.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
So it happened, we went 0-2 like that,
and
it's been a fog and blur ever since.
So one of the things, all your kids are the cutest little kids, right? Well, now they're getting bigger, but the one thing that always sticks out to me about Will is every time I see him, he's smiling ear to ear. And I'm sure that that experience of bringing him from Ethiopia to here will provide him with this amazing life that he most likely would not have had there. I mean, is that something, do you guys talk about that? I mean, is he aware of where he was born and kind of, you know?
Yeah, so, you know, since the beginning, he came home at 1 year old, okay. Exactly one. Like, that week was his first 1 year old birthday. And, you know, it's pretty obvious he has a different skin color. So we've always talked about adoption. Mm-hmm. And as you know, faith is really important to me and drives me. And frankly, it's the reason I serve at Habitat and served at Habitat. And so we just talk a lot about that we're all adopted into God's family. And that makes his eyes light up and that he has the special circumstance of having been adopted as well here in the United States. So that is an interesting dynamic that we talk about regularly. I mean, when we pray at night, we're regularly talking about that. And my family, like extended family, my cousins, my aunts and uncles, have just embraced him from the beginning. Yeah. Grandmas, grandpas, everybody. And they're always talking about it, and it's the truth, like how beautiful his skin color is. And we try to celebrate Ethiopian culture as best we can and eat the food because... we all inherently derive value from where we're from. I mean, you ask me, hey, tell me about yourself. The first thing I said is I'm from Iowa. Yeah. I mean, that's the first thing. Yeah. And it's the same thing for Will, right? Yeah. And so he needs to derive that value. And family is so important as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's going to ask, and he has already asked questions about birth mom, birth dad, family, and all of those things. And we just celebrate it. Yeah. We celebrate it. And... he has the benefit of having a loving family and, you know, getting that tradition and experience. And to your point, Mike, I mean, in spite of us, he brings so much joy everywhere he goes.
Yes, yeah.
And his just, I mean, he is in the center of our family, our faith and our kids. And obviously, Jana and I, he's just a great
kid. Doesn't stop moving.
No.
He is. The only time I think I've seen him not moving is when he's been in the back seat of the car.
Right? Yeah,
and that's probably you're probably got him strapped in, so he can't. But what a great story, and it says a lot about you and Jana, the fact that you guys made this sort of commitment, because that takes a very special person, special family, that's willing to do that.
You know, a lot of people say that, and the truth is, and I mean it sincerely, the blessings come the other way.
Sure.
They really do. Right. I mean, we're the recipient of it. And what's really cool, when you say yes to something, right, whether it's adoption or serving at Habitat, and you go all in on something, you're part of a fraternity then in the relationships that are built. Mm-hmm. And as it relates to the adoption circles, I mean, we've got, you mentioned, you know, Will's always moving. I don't know one Ethiopian boy that doesn't.
Yeah.
You know, that way. I mean, they're just like super energy, high energy.
Yeah, yeah.
In the sports world, we call it high motor, right? Okay. And it's just, they're always going. And Will's certainly that. But it's just really fun to have gotten to know a lot of families that have adopted. And I mean, the stories are across the spectrum in terms of difficulty.
Sure.
But every single one of them, if they were interviewed today, would say, thank you for that.
Yeah.
And we've been the recipient of the, you know, the blessings far beyond what we've given to the child.
Now, you've been to Africa a number of times, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you do this thing where you go climb a hill,
right?
So let's talk about that. But then at the same time, do you think there will be an opportunity for Will? I mean, do you see taking him to Africa and visiting and learning more?
For sure, for sure. So... you know Bob Goff, the author Bob Goff, he wrote this book, Love Does, right?
Okay.
And I'm completely ripping off his parenting technique, but one of his things that he did when his children turned 10, he said, anything you want to do, any experience in life, I'm taking it. You pick, right?
Wow.
And so his stories were, you know, one kid said, I want to climb Half Dome in Yosemite. One kid said, I want to drive dune buggies in the Mojave. One kid said, I want high tea in London. So I said, so Will's 9, he's turning 10 in October.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to do, buddy?
Yeah.
And he said, you know, Dad, I can only think of one thing I want to do. I'm like, all right, what is it? He said, Normandy, Omaha Beach. I was like, holy cow, D-Day? You want to go to, like, you want to, and he's like, yeah.
That threw you for a loop?
And, well, he's just, like, so into history,
gotcha.
You know? And
yeah,
so
yeah.
That's what we're going to do. We're going to plan the trip as soon as, you know, pandemic allows.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're going to go over there and do that. And so my daughter, who's right behind, I mentioned 9 months, so she's like, well, okay, I want Jerusalem. And I was like, oh my gosh, we're about to just blow through our life savings. Didn't quite think this through. Wife's like, this is not going to be a daddy kid trip. You this is a family trip. Yeah. Right? Yeah.
You didn't put any parameters.
No.
That's dangerous.
That's very dangerous.
Whatever you want to do. And so that we're going to do that. And then Brayden, who's six, is like, I'll go to Disney World. So, he's six. He'll figure it out. It's going to be fun. But at 14, we're planning the trip when it's going to be more meaningful and kind of a rite of passage sort of thing.
Yeah.
And to your point, getting back to that, I've been to Africa, I think it's 7 times in the last 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And wow. So love the people there.
Yeah.
The ministry that we're a part of, Man Up and Go, is just making a significant impact. We've got great ministry partners, Uganda, Ethiopia.
Yeah.
And then as part of that trip, the last 2 times, we've climbed Mount Kilimanjaro as a fundraiser for the organization. And, there's something about just saying yes to doing hard things.
Yeah.
Like, do hard things.
Yeah.
And, you develop character and you get better as a result of it.
So a couple of years ago when Jason mentioned he was going to climb Mount Kilimanjaro, he's like, you should come. And I said, I'll wait at the bottom with the water.
I'll take photos of you coming back down. Welcome you back.
Yeah. Well, what a cool accomplishment.
Yeah,
I mean, to be able to say that you've done that, right?
It was great. And what a great, the camaraderie. We had, I think the first year we had 13 people go. And for 13 people, so I don't want to make it sound all that tight. It's a challenge, but we had 70 porters. So it's not glamping full on, but we have cooks.
Yeah.
They carry up porta potties for you.
Yeah.
Like 3 for 13 guys. They set up your camp, and then you take your day pack, but the rest of your stuff.
Yeah.
They carry it.
They carry it up.
Yeah, they carry it up for
you.
That's
a tough job.
Yeah.
Oh, and
I
those guys.
Imagine.
You tip well.
Yes.
They're getting you to the top for sure.
Yeah.
So if anybody wants to climb Kilimanjaro, I got your guy. I got a great referral for you. Yeah.
Wow. Well, let's go back to Habitat, right? So you got plugged in with Habitat 8 years ago or so.
Yeah.
I started here right around the same time that you joined the board.
Yeah.
But what was that experience like? I mean, obviously, I think something, I don't want to speak for you, but that pulled you to Habitat was our Christian-based values and the founding of Habitat. And, but tell us a little bit about Habitat, why you got involved, and then why do you stay connected?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. At the time, and like a lot of people, in a community, there were a lot of folks asking, hey, will you serve on this board? Can you serve on that board? And whatnot. And Jason Miller, who was a good friend and our real estate agent, but a really good friend, was serving on the board at the time. And he just said, hey, I think you would enjoy this, one, knowing your faith and your values. And two, we could use your experience. And, I think anybody that serves and is going to invest time in something wants to make an impact, right? You don't want to, and especially the Habitat Board. I mean, the quality of folks that you have brought to the Habitat Board can use their time on a bunch of different things, right? But they choose to get involved and plug in, not because any of them need something on their resume. They really don't. They're all really high quality people.
Yeah.
They want to serve and make an impact. And so that's how it was for me. And when I got plugged in, it was an interesting time in Habitat Pinellas's, evolution.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it, but the very first board meeting, the executive director at the time, that you replaced, she resigned. That very first board, I had no idea.
Yeah.
And it was a challenging financial situation at that moment. It wasn't bankrupt or anything of that nature, but we had to make some interesting decisions, right?
Yeah.
To just keep things going. And I turned to Jason Miller after that, and I was like, hey, man, And the good news is, and Barbara Inman, who was the executive director, just a great job getting Habitat.
Sure.
And, the foundation that it's built on, she had a major
she
role.
She laid that.
In building.
Yeah,
I mean, really, and just a fantastic person. But she was out at that time, and we went, and it was time to interview and recruit, and in the board's wisdom, brought Mike Sutton on, right? And it's just been really cool to work alongside you, over the, 6 years that we worked and got to collaborate.
Yeah.
And like anything, right? Ups and downs.
Ups and downs. Sure,
but
sure.
The general trajectory, just extraordinary. And what leadership you've brought and the team you've surrounded yourself with here, some of which were with Barbara before.
I think you look at Ken and Gabby, they're probably the biggest example of folks that have been with us for 10 plus years, and Rick, all three have been, since I've been here, promoted onto our executive team. So, yeah, great team. And then, you know, we have amazing folks like Morgan and others that are kind of the up-and-comers in the organization that are going to kind of continue to lead Habitat to kind of new heights.
It's an extraordinary team, right? And in the not-for-profit world, you don't always get the best talent, right?
Yeah.
But you've been able to attract that here, for sure.
Well, we've taken a little bit of a different approach than I think most nonprofits. Mm-hmm. You know, we invest in our staff. We know that, you know, although we're a nonprofit, it's a tax status. It's not a business model, right?
It's not. No, it's not nonprofit. It's not for-profit. Yeah, anyway. Yeah, you get it. So, and the resources have just grown, right? So from that time 8 years ago when we had to make some tough decisions, you know, everybody wants to join a winner. And so those listening, Habitat's a winner, right? in a really good place financially and serving. Yeah. I mean, we're about to dedicate our 700th home, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Which is so awesome.
Yeah.
Because I think when we were 200 something?
280 was my first day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? So,
I remember celebrating 300.
Yeah.
And it was this huge deal.
Yeah. Down in St. Pete. I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. We got to 700 and it's awesome. It's so great.
Yeah. It's well, and you know, we just developed a new strategic plan, which will see us build 210 homes over the next 3 years.
Yeah.
So, and we know, you know, Jason was, when he was board chair, actually, when I first started, he would, you know, he kept throwing that 100 number out. Got to get to 100 homes a year. Got to get to 100. And it's not, you know, one of the things that sometimes people, I think, get confused on, it's not about that number of homes.
Right.
It's the number of families we're serving, right?
Mm-hmm.
It all comes back to, you know, how do we just leverage and partner with the community to continue
help more families.
It was really cool because Mike came on, he's like, we need a strategic plan, right? And I'll never forget because I was not the board chair at the time and got asked to be on that strategic planning committee as one of the three or four board members that were on it. And I didn't know enough to know better at the time, but what I recognized was, hey, we need like a bold goal, right? A bold vision, if you will. And I wasn't the one to give the vision. I mean, Mike was bringing it. There's no question about that. With the board chair at the time, Vicky, was, I mean, phenomenal. And then Julie Clavins after Vicky was so great. But anyway, we were all on that committee, and I just threw out the 100, you know, number.
Yeah.
And it was like the staff that were in the room were like, this guy's great. Like, he's stupid. You know, he doesn't even know what that takes. I didn't. The truth is I didn't. But you and I both knew at the time we needed something bold to motivate the staff and the team at the time to strive for something. And to your point, we're serving more than 100 families every single year. I mean, you'll probably know the numbers, but you've more than exceeded that.
Which is
so fun.
It's amazing to, you know, when you think back, right? And we kind of had similar wake-up calls, I think, when we joined Habitat, right? So as a first-time CEO, when I'm often asked by people in the community, like, you know, what's some advice when you're interviewing as a first-time CEO? I said, ask about the financials. Because, like, I didn't know. I didn't know what I was walking into. I was like, oh, man, this is a great mission. I worked for Habitat before, so I'm coming back, right? Get to work with great people. And then I walked into my first board meeting, and I was just kind of like, what, like, now what? You know, like, it's eye-opening, right?
Well, and your background was fundraising, right, before that. So it's just been really great, and, you know, on the personal level to see how we've developed personally in our friendships, professionally, right, in terms of the organizations that we get to be a part of and support the team.
Sure.
And the team here, the way it's developed, which is an extension of leadership, is really awesome.
Yeah. Well, and I think that that foundation that's built because of the mission ties back to mission moments. So I know Mike has talked about his mission moments. I've talked about some of mine. I would love to hear in your time over 8 years or so, what are some of your favorite mission moments from dedications or events, things like that?
You know, I'll put them in categories. The dedication's always, you know, it always rises to the top. That's probably the answer you get every time you do one of these, I would guess, because the moment you see those families get the keys, it's extraordinary. And that's every single family.
Every single time.
Right.
And every time I invited somebody to experience that, it's just so emotional, right?
Yeah.
And because the impact that Habitat makes is real. And the fact that it's a hand up and not a handout, that was the big thing you know, that sold me on it, is that we have enough people in our society looking for handouts right now.
Yeah.
And whether that's, you know, at the time of this taping, people getting free money,
or
just, you know, a general society not willing to work hard enough time in and do those sorts of things. These families are not that.
Yeah.
These families, they work their tail off, mm-hmm. they earn it. Mm-hmm. The physical labor they work, the mental and the emotional development it takes to get through the program, they earn every square foot of that house that they get. And then they're paying a mortgage as well, right? So that's always emotional, because when you realize the dedication and you realize the sacrifice to get to that moment, to get the house. But most of those families then have the backstory as well. Yeah. And when you're on the board and you're reading through, you don't see the names of the families, but you're reading through the backstory of these families and why they deserve, you know, to go through the program.
Yeah.
To know some of those backstories and then see it all the way through to dedication, and to know the sacrifice that many of these single parents make to get there, is so impactful. But in general, all of them. But the biggest mission moment for me is when I've seen men step up. Yeah. There's so many single moms that we serve, and they're extraordinary. There are a few single dads or men that are leading their families really well and actually stepping up and humbling themselves and saying, I'm going to go through this program and I'm going to lead it. For me personally, that's been emotional for me, because it inspires me to be a better dad, to be a better husband, and also to be a better community leader in whatever leadership role that I've been provided. So those are the big ones for me. And then it's not a mission moment, but the camaraderie with the board and the staff and the team. I mean, anytime you go through some adversity together and you build something of meaning, you've got this bond and you're going to have it forever.
Right.
And this team, you know, y'all are in the trenches for sure. And what most people think is, like, this is just a factory of homes that are getting, produced. That's not it at all. Each one is unique. Each property has its challenges. Each family has to be shepherded through, the process. And take that times 70 every single year.
Yeah.
It doesn't just happen, right?
Right?
It's a result of leadership and management and everything that you would imagine goes along with it. And I was just proud to be a small part of it and support the team that gets it done.
Awesome. Cool. Well, as we wrap up, Jason, tell us, we always ask guests on our award-winning podcast, what does home mean to you?
Yeah. Home for me starts with faith. Starts with faith. And it's not about brick and mortar or the four walls at all, but it's the body's a temple, if you will, and it's the relationship with the Creator that is where it starts for me with home. And then it's about family, right? Outside of that, and how the family's attached there and how the faith is intertwined in those relationships. And then from there, it's about the community that surrounds the family, and that's the home. And what's really cool about Habitat is that, as I mentioned earlier, when you serve, you're part of a community or a fraternity or sorority. In this case, you're part of the Habitat community, and that is home. And yes, there are four walls there, but you see so many of these families, when you pray over that home, when they walk in and they get that Bible for the first time, you see faith, you see family, you see the facility, which is the home.
Yeah.
And for me, that's what it's all about.
That's awesome. Well, Habitat's in a better place and is a stronger organization because of your leadership.
Absolutely.
And I know you're a very humble guy, and you'll say, I just played a small part, but you really did over the last number of years really help this organization grow significantly. So thank you for everything that you've done, and thanks for joining us today.
Yeah.
Super fun.
Yeah.
My pleasure.
Yeah.
And thank you to Habitat and both of you for making me a better person as well.
Oh, great. Thanks, Jason.
Right. Well, that was awesome. I love chatting with Jason. I didn't know about all his travels. Oh my gosh.
He's been to Africa quite a bit. And that the whole trip to Mount Kilimanjaro and climbing, sounds pretty intense.
That's pretty intense.
But he does it for a good purpose. There's a mission behind it. I'm sure there's that self-gratification of being able to reach such a milestone. It's something that very few people have done.
Right.
But at the same time, they do it because they're raising money for an organization he's plugged into. So and Man Up and Go is a pretty cool organization.
Yeah.
It really focuses around the fatherless.
And I think that I also like how he tied in Men's Build and kind of Hunks with Hammers. So.
Yeah.
Folks getting involved with Hunks with Hammers, which is our giving circle, a networking group, but that comes together to help build a home for a single dad every year, is a really cool take on a mission moment that I haven't heard before in the show, which is cool.
Well, I think when you look back at Habitat's, almost 40 years here in our community, Jason has been a transformational partner to our organization. Mm-hmm. So it was fun to talk to him today. So yeah. I'm glad we were able to do that. You can also check out previous podcasts on our website, on our YouTube channel, or on our Facebook page. Mm-hmm. This is episode 16, so if you want to binge watch, if you need something to do, there's tons of them out there.
Go ahead and shop the ReStore, buy a new couch, and then go ahead and binge the Habitcast on the couch.
It's a great idea.
It's July 4th weekend. I mean, it's going to be hot all weekend. You might as well take a little bit of time inside.
I like it. I like it. Awesome. Well, thank you everyone for being with us today, and we thank Jason Clement for sharing his background and passion with us. So thank you, and we'll see you next time.